Yeah, good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. We're streaming at KCNR1460.com. That means no matter where you go, you cannot get away from us. And, yeah, you know what else? We're streaming Dennis Miller. So when you have finished listening to our show, just hang on, because here comes Dennis. I'm joined today in the studio by Bad Bob.
Very excellent treat for anyone coming in on Highway 44. The full moon looks like it'd reach out and touch it.
Well, they'll probably put a tax on it if they do. But speaking of a beautiful sight in the morning, here she is, my bride.
Oh, okay. We brought Snooki today. I thought you were talking about little fluff bomb in the other room. Elk killer. Good morning, everyone. 605-4567. We're taking your calls. This is KCNR 1460. If you have something that's on your mind, email me, Linda at KCNR1460.com. We're going to give you a little bit of an update of the weather. Showers likely today, and possibly another thunderstorm. Mostly cloudy with a high of near 54. Current temperature is 42 degrees. Weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyard. Now, as you're marking your calendar, we know that we're coming into April. There's tons of things that we're doing. We know Cool April Nights and Red Bluff Roundup. The 15th of April, we want to remind you what's happening out at Anselmo's at 11 a.m. It's going to be incredible. They're going to have the two cars from American Graffiti, which is, I think, what's it called? Is it at the 51 Merc and
the yellow car?
The yellow car. You have Bo Hopkins and
Paul
Amat and Beverly D'Angelo, and there's going to be hamburgers and shakes, and that's going to go till about 5 o'clock. And then at 5 o'clock, we're going to ride the Harley over to the bridge, where of course there's going to be the big.
Remember last year they had
rally
on tax protest day. Everybody. Many people, I shouldn't say everybody, but about 3,000 people marched across the bridge. Well, they're going to do that again today, or do that again on April 15th, starting at 5 p.m.
And then on the next day, which would be the 16th of April, we are going to have music that we're going to do out at Anselmo's. We're going to do jazz. And I'm very excited. We've got Rick Hill and Pat Karch and Bobby Veramendes on drums, and that's going to be just a kind of a kickback, really cool night with cigars. Tobacco and Brew is going to bring in some great cigars from their humidor, some special surprises that we're not really quite aware of.
Bringing in the experts for cigar tasting and the wine tasting. Now, you know, the other thing too is that's, you know, on Cool April Nights they have the cruise that night too. So, but all that will occur. You know, the cruise starts I think at 5 and 6. Anyway, the rest of the events will start right after that. Out in Anselmo's. There is a number of things going on that week, including the Mountain Film Festival. It's going to be down at the Cascade. We're running a number of ads for that. We're going to be talking about that, have the people in there. Plus, they're having a home and garden show, a free home and garden show out on Airport Road. It's going to go that weekend. I tell you what, there is so many things going on in this town that it's hard to keep track of.
Can you believe Sunday's Easter? I don't know. Bob, Carl, what do you think?
I thought Easter was next week until we started talking about it yesterday.
Is Easter coming sooner than usual?
It all depends on there's a very complex formula that I've never figured out, having to do with, of all things, the moon phases. And I don't know why Christmas is on a fixed date, but Easter moves around. I haven't quite figured that one
okay.
out.
Okay. So there, this Easter brunch, we're going to, of course, go to church and then go to Market Street Steakhouse for brunch.
That's right. They have a great brunch down there.
We got up this morning. Of course, when we get up, we wake up and it's still dark outside. It's dark 30. And, there's something to happen this morning. I'm sure when we come back after this break, you've got a bone to pick.
Well, you know, there is something. Has the world turned upside down, my friends? Has the world changed so radically that right becomes wrong, that filth becomes cleanliness, that the death of a warrior becomes a reason for people to scream horrible things to about this person? Has the world become that? This is Carl and Linda Bott. We're going to discuss that when we get back. This is Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, clearly news talk radio.
Simple Green.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Hey, our phone number's here, 605-4567. If you want to write to Linda, do it, Linda at KCNR1460.com. All right, you know, things happen, and that you have to just wonder why. You know, there's the law, and then there's morally right. There's people doing things to purposely hurt other people, and yet they're protected. But it's not enough to protect people in today's society. You have to then rub the people who are offended's wounds with salt. You know, a member, Linda and I are a member of the Patriot Guard Riders. The Patriot Guard Riders began years ago in opposition to a group out of Topeka, Kansas, called the Westboro Baptist Church, whose whole goal in life, their only goal in life, was to go and picket the funerals of the fallen warriors. And it's not enough just to picket, just to say, hey, we're in disagreement with the war. That's not really what it was about. They were saying things that these men and women were killed because God hates gays. They're anti-gay to them, to the extreme. And so they went to this young Marine's funeral, and the father sued them, saying, how can you do this? How can you come to my son's funeral and destroy it? How can you come outside and yell these horrible things, that he deserved to die, that he's burning in hell, that he will never go to heaven, that this was his fault? How could you do that? And he sued them for ruining the funeral. Well, it appears, of course, that this scum, this filth, is covered by the First Amendment in the Constitution for free speech. All right. Okay. Make that decision. But yesterday, the father was ordered to pay $16,500 to Fred Phelps, the leader of the Topeka Westboro Baptist Church, in court cost. He had to pay for Phelps's court cost. Now, this is, of course, being challenged up to the Supreme Court, but you know what's going to happen. It's not enough that they destroy a man's memories of his son, his final memories of his son at the funeral. But then when he protests through the courts, he now has to pay the Westboro Baptist Church.
It just feels evil. There's something wrong.
The world has turned upside down when this happens. When something like this happens, where is right? The Patriot Guard Riders was formed to oppose the Westboro Baptist Church. Specifically, they formed up. And it wasn't like, let's get 1,000 people together. It was men and women coming together to protect other families, to protect other families from these vermin. Now, do they have a right to protest? Obviously, according to the Supreme Court. But I've seen these people in action. And it's not just warriors that have died in the service of their country. The firefighters, the 11 firefighters that were killed when the helicopter went down.
Here in the North State.
In the North State. And they had their funeral last year. I was honored to be able to go as a member of the Patriot Guard Riders because the Westboro Baptist Church had said they're showing up. And they did. About, I guess, 6 women. And you cannot imagine the filth that came from those women's mouths. The things that they said about the firemen roasting in hell, the firemen, you know, who are in agony and will be forever in agony because God hates them, because of gays. That's their whole thing. They're so anti-gay. They're saying the United States and all these people are being punished because that we allow gays to live a free life. And this is what they're basing it on. And the things they screamed, the things that they said, their signs were atrocious. And yet, of course, they're protected. But the family that they destroy, the family they hurt, they are injured. And then have to pay these people, pay them for destroying their family, for their the funeral for their son. And they've done this so many times. You know, I just find this reprehensible. I hope he doesn't pay. He said he's not going to pay unless he's, you know, ordered to by the Supreme Court. And I hope somewhere along the line something happens that he doesn't have to do that. That some ruling, something happens that says, one, that he doesn't have to pay, or that the Westboro Baptist Church does not get the money, one of the two. You look upset, Bob.
I used to get, when I was news director over at the other place, I used to get faxes from these people. I would literally want to go wash my hands after handling the fax. It was so vile.
Yeah. Well.
What do you do with vile people? I mean, you know, this is the, you know, it's a free country. We have the First Amendment so we can speak our minds. But what do you do when you have, let's say, your neighbor? Let's say this person lives next door to you. What do you do with vile people besides pray to not let it get into your skin? You know, pray for that bubble around you that's just not going, because there is always going to be the creep in the car, the creep who cuts you off, the creep on five, the creepy neighbor who peers through the not that we have that, but I've had it before. I've been the creep who looks through the peeping hole when you're going to the bathroom at the gas station. The creeps.
Well, they're out there. You know, the thing about it is this is you know, I feel that people are upset. I feel that they say, you know, what are we going to do about it? And you know what you continue to do? You know, some of the states actually passed laws that said that these people had to stay 300 feet away from the funerals. And I think that was challenged in court, too, for, you know, right of assembly. We'll see. I know that some states have done that. I don't think California has. I know the hardest part of when the Patriot Guard and the other organizations that were out there that day in opposition, you know, the Westboro Baptist Church was, of course, outnumbered, but like, you know, like 20-1, was the just not saying anything to them. I mean, literally just not saying anything to them. And here's something else. You know, it's newsworthy, I guess.
Depressing is what it is.
Well, it's newsworthy when something like that happens. But I can tell you this. We had a TV station that went out there and looked at them, and then they covered the funeral, the memorial service. You did not see one frame of film that day on the Westboro Baptist Church. And, I applaud Channel 7 for that.
Well, you know, I don't think we're born again. Going back to when a baby is born, they're not born bigoted. They're not born believing that, you know, all these things are learned, these evil thoughts, these judgmental thoughts on, you know, what's right and what's wrong. These are learned. It's a learned behavior that they're taught. So I wonder what kind of environment those five women that you saw up there, what they grew up in. Is it something that they just like, well, oh, this is what I'm going to start believing when I'm 20? Or were they raised in a household that believed?
Well, they had young girls there that were probably 12, 13, and 14 that were right there holding signs. Now, they were not into the yelling and screaming, but they were holding signs. And I was thinking that's a good question, because I was sitting there thinking that they're young, you know, they're attractive young girls, you know, in their early teens. And I'm thinking, look at your mothers, or look who these women are, you know, girls, because that's what you're going to be in 20 years. And I don't know if that's what they want, because that type of hatred changes you. It changes your face. It changes your attitude. Changes your whole demeanor. I think it's scary. I think it's...
What? Is that any different than what's happening over in the Mideast with recruiting children to do the bombing and things like that? Is there any difference? I don't really see one.
No, there's, you know, in the sense, the only sense there is that when you recruit children to strap a bomb on them to kill other people, there is a step between hating something and saying these hateful things and putting a bomb on your body and, you know, and killing people. There's a big step.
There's a level of destruction there, I think, that it could lead to that. You
know? Can I change the subject real fast? Speaking of bombs, we're going to take a break.
We'll
come back. I'm going to talk about bombs. This is Carl and Linda Bott here. Give us a call, 605-4567. Pitch in here what your thoughts are. This is Free Fire Radio here on KCNR 1460, clearly News Talk Radio.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. 605-4567 is our phone number, and we're streaming at KCNR 1460.
We just have a few more minutes before we take our hard break for the news, and then we're going to be spotlighting a small business at the next half hour. But recently heard that, you know, the militia group that they, I can't remember what state it was in. Do you know what state? Anyway, I think it was back in the Midwest.
It was in the Midwest.
That they found, they said, weapons of destruction.
Weapons of mass destruction.
That were, and they said that they had homemade, when I'm saying they, okay, from a news source, said that they had built, following the internet, IEDs.
Well, IEDs are, there's a difference between a weapon of mass destruction and an IED.
Well, that's their call. Okay, see, that's.
But I heard them say weapons of mass destruction. Weapon of mass destruction is like a dirty bomb. It's biological. It's chemical. It's a, you know, it's a nuke. Things like the Iranians are building right now, we're not doing anything about.
Do you think that perhaps that's just misinformation regarding weapons of mass destruction and or IED?
Well, an IED is simply an improvised explosive device. That's all it is. It could be a pipe with black powder in it and a firecracker and a fuse to make it go boom. I mean, it could do that. Or it could be something a lot more sophisticated like we were facing over in Iraq and Afghanistan. But the bottom line is I saw that as I was walking out the house when it said weapons of mass destruction, so I'm going to have to take a look at that before we talk about it. Now, the thing about it is, though, the arrest of these 9 militia members who are conservative, you know, according to the news media, conservative Christians, which kind of like plays right into the hands of Janet Neapolitano and her terrorist cookbook that she has. It says you have to look at these, you know, look at the militias. You have to look at the, you know, the right wing Christians. You've got to look at returning military. You've got to look at, you know, single, you know, pro-life people and Second Amendment people. Well, the thing is that you're going to have a fringe element everywhere. But, you know, to try and tar everybody with one, you know, sweeping brushstroke is wrong. But the thing is that I have yet to see the evidence. They just said that they've got a number of charges against these 9. We've got to take a break here. Our guest is going to be talking about computers, which is one of our favorite things because we understand them very little.
And his brother's serving in Afghanistan.
That's right.
We didn't realize that we kind of met beforehand to say goodbye to his brother at the airport with the Patriot Guard riders.
Right. Carl and the Bot, KCNR 1460, clearly News Talk Radio. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 AM. Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Finest walk-in humidor in the North State. Great coffee at Espresso Joe's. You got a place there to look at your computer, drink your coffee right there at the Wild Side. And also, people have meetings there. I just checked with Joe and Shelley, and you can set up your meetings for your groups. That's Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Let's go to the phones. Hey, Martin.
Good morning.
Martin. Yeah, you're on.
I can tell that you're talking to me. The problem of the crazy Baptists can be handled simply by looking at the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. In the last part of the first Bill of Rights, it says the right of the people peacefully to assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances. Okay, what it means is peacefully. The key is peacefully. They are not peaceful. And the whole idea of the First Amendment is to petition the government for redress of grievances, not the soldiers. They need to go after the politicians. And then they go right to the scriptures. Who did John the Baptist confront? He confronted the corrupt leaders and the politicians of the time. Who did Jesus confront? Well, the corrupt politicians and the corrupt leaders of the time. It's really all very simple. We just go back to the First Amendment and take a good hard look at it.
Well, you know,
right?
Well, Morton, you are right. It's the fact is that we do look at the Constitution. We do look at the First Amendment. But over the years, for some reason, it has expanded and shaped and changed. It seems like some people treat it as a living document as opposed to being a document that's written in stone.
Well, we're talking about the corrupt leaders and the politicians again. They're the
ones
that
true.
Are corrupting it.
You know what? You're never going to have an argument with me about that, that the politicians who at one time did their work without pay, served for 8 years or for a term, and came back home. They were citizens first and not politicians. And what do we have now? We have career politicians. One has just said he wants to spend more time in Congress than Strom Thurmond, and Strom Thurmond died at, I think, he was 100. Congressman Herger, I think, made that statement. So it's the type of thing that the only way you're going to change it is to change it at the top. So, Morton, your phone call was right on.
Thank you. Bye now.
Yeah. Thank
Keep
you,
up
Morton.
Good work.
Thanks.
All right, thank you.
We have we love it when our listeners will call in and just, chime in. And many of you are en route. So if you get to work and you're streaming us, email me, linda@kcnr1460.com, with what's on your mind. But we are so excited because we are going to introduce to you a small business owner here by the name of Michael McKenzie, who is an IT consultant, and the name of his company is Professional System Solutions. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning.
Thank you for being our guest today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, tell us what your company does.
We specialize in PC servers, desktops, laptops, hardware, software, networking, phones, and more. As I like to joke with people, it's Microsoft that keeps me employed, so I'm not really a Mac technician. There are some great companies out there that do Macs. But basically, I've had a lot of IT experience with a large publicly owned company, and did the general IT from the server side of it to all the way down to, you know, the laser jet printers and the just, you know, users saying, help, my mouse isn't working. And so I've really run the gamut, had a lot of experience. And I've dealt with the high-end, expensive $80,000 database server down to just the $300 e-machine that somebody wanted fixed. So I have a lot of experience, and I'm able to offer a lot of ways to keep costs down for small businesses in town. So
we should give them your brother's number. Yeah, he said the other day his mouse wasn't working.
His mouse wasn't working.
Anyway, so you love PCs then?
I love computer work, all kinds. It's very challenging. There's a lot to know. I won't be the first one to say that I know everything there is to know about all of it out there, because it's just so vast, and that's what actually keeps me excited about what I do, because you're constantly learning.
Do you have people that you employ, or are you a one-man show?
It is just me, myself, and I. I started in 2009 when the economy started kind of going downhill. I was previously employed by a company, and I just felt that going out on my own was in best interest for my employment opportunity. So I started a Professional System Solutions in January of 2009.
And wow. So you bounce around, and you see all different kinds of probably walks of life trying to get you to help them with their PCs. What do you think the general climate is at the moment with businesses?
With businesses, it's still the same. I mean, people realize that there's a cost of doing business, so they're trying to keep their systems up to par. They're just trying not to spend as much money. So some of them have maybe let go of some of their IT staff, which makes it a great opportunity for me to step in and say, hey, I can be an outside consultant and support you without having the cost of an employee in-house. Some of the bigger projects that they would like to do to move forward as a business are put on hold until the budgets come in. So certainly things have slowed down, but if you're running a business and you have a computer, it's going to break at some point in time, and you need an IT guy.
And certainly how important it is to have phone systems that work.
Phone systems that work are always important.
I mean, we experienced that the other day. We realized, the limitations, but now that we can deal with those limitations with our phone lines being full and people backed up and phone lines dropping and such. So I guess the question would be then, give us a little bit about your history.
I was, I've been interested in computers. I mean, I grew up with the Commodore 64 in my house, and then we upgraded to the Big Bad 128. In my high school, we were working on the Tandy 1000s, where they had a floppy disk, the real floppy disk that was 5 1/4.
That's pretty archaic.
Look
around here.
I know.
I'm seeing some floppy disks.
I'm seeing some of the DOS programs and stuff going on. I'm liking it, but it's what works for you. Some programs
doesn't fail.
Right.
It just keeps going.
That's
we
right.
need that.
I'm not really one to go in and push you need to upgrade. If it's doing what it's doing for you, then that's really what's most important. And I think that's where I vary from a lot of IT people is that I want to know what your business processes are and how I can best support them. I'm not really pushing an upgrade just for the sake of making a sale and implementing a system. If the DOS program works for you without fail and is stable, then what's the point in migrating? Now, if you're lacking some functionality that you'd like to have, okay, then let's talk about maybe upgrading. But I worked with a publicly owned company, and I got into a lot of compliance laws, Sarbanes and Oxley, and various things, and then just went out on my own, and then just all walks from the, like I said, the e-machine up to the HP or Dell server.
Great. We're gonna take a break. Our guest this morning, talking about a small business and his IT as an IT consultant, is Michael McKenzie. We'll be back after these messages. Carl and Linda Bott here, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio. Good morning, Reading, 744. Can you believe that moon that was hanging up in the sky? Hanging out there. Mr. Moon. Yeah. 605-45-67. Weather today, showers. Likely. I like that. Showers likely. Likely showers and possibly a thunderstorm with a high near 54, currently 40 degrees. And actually, it's kind of a hazy sun today. So, I mean, like it said, possible showers. So just be prepared for it all. Bring your umbrella, your overcoat, layer,
The weather rock is still dry.
Uh-huh. And the weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. Our guest this morning, of course, we like to highlight small businesses. That's really kind of our mission statement is shop local, stay local, and we want to support our community by introducing you, our listeners, our thousands of listeners, to small businesses.
Michael McKenzie.
Who owns Professional System Solutions and is an IT consultant. Welcome back, Michael.
Thank you.
Now, we met you before we met you today.
Yes.
And
yes.
It was out at the airport.
It was outstanding. It was.
Okay. Would you want to tell everybody how we all met that first time?
I would love to. It was actually quite a surprise to us. But my brother Matthew McKenzie, he's in the Army, came on leave to the stateside to visit us for a little while, and on his way back to Afghanistan, the Patriot Guard, whom you were riding with, showed up at the airport, all bearing flags. And it was a very moving experience for my entire family. Reading, I think the culture is there, but you don't see it all the time. And so just to see, oh man, I think there was 20 to 30 people, maybe more, bearing flags of our country and just really sending my brother off in such a patriotic way. It was really moving. And I know it brought my mom to tears. And, it's just something that I've missed seeing since living on a military base.
Well, this happens on many occasions. Unfortunately, with the radio station, that we don't get to ride like we used to. Mm-hmm. But there are constant missions that are going out to welcome home people. In fact, I think there's one tomorrow at 10:45 at night at the airport, welcoming home a warrior. And it hasn't stopped. And that the love of the North State for their veterans is there.
Yes.
And those serving. And sometimes we don't see it all the time, but it's there, and the outpouring of support is there all the time.
So, Michael, can you tell us, we just got an email, and somebody who obviously knows of your brother, could you tell us a little bit about your brother's service?
My brother was formerly actually in the Marine Corps, and he served for 5 years, and since being in, he was in several of the wars overseas, in Somalia, Iraq, Afghanistan. He's been stationed to both Iraq and Afghanistan several times each. He got out of the Marine Corps, tried civilian life for a while, and then just decided he really wanted to go back in. So he went into the Army, and then he was an Army 10th Mountain Division based out of Fort Drum, New York, and then again was over in Afghanistan and Iraq. 10th Mountain Division is some people would know were kind of the ones responsible for chasing the Taliban out of the caves. Their specialty is high desert, high mountain fighting. And so he was over there, infantry, so he was doing a lot of, you know, combat. And has he actually was involved, their base was raided, and there was a lot of mortar shells, and he was actually tossed on one occasion by the concussion of a blast, and he did some damage to his neck. So he came back stateside for a neck operation where they fused two of his vertebrae together, and after that he was always late duty. He was never able to go back out and fight like he wanted to with his troops, but he did intelligence for a while, and just kind of helping run in operations from a base, and he just got orders to, he's stateside now, and he just got orders to go to a new duty station in Texas. So he's just left. In fact, he just, I saw on his Facebook, he just processed through CIF to get out of Fort Drum.
Well, you know, he could be listening to you live right now because we're streaming across the World Wide Web.
He could, and I posted that status on my Facebook, so if he's online, he probably is listening to me right now.
He can give you a call at 530-605-4567.
Or email me right now at Linda at KCNR1460.com. And see if you got a question that comes up for your bro.
We're gonna take a quick break here. Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio.
So what?
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio with Carl Lindebaugh, KCNR 1460. Phone lines here are 605-4567. We're streaming at KCNR1460.com. Now, somebody sent us an email. It appears that.
Bud sent it. Nicole.
Bud,
thanks.
Bud sent us an email. It says, appears that Bill O'Reilly said on a show last night that he's going to pay that $16,000 that goes to the Westboro Baptist Church. You know, I almost hate to use the term Baptist and church along with these,
yeah,
with these people.
Crazy people who are
crazy,
just.
And there's only like 80 of them. I think they're all inbred.
I feel like they're kind of demon driven. But anyway.
No, that's just us.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay,
anyway,
so let's get back into something positive.
That's positive.
It's negative that that's even happened. It's negative that this gentleman whose son served in the military has to pay a fine for people who spew
hatred.
That is all wrong. But it's like, I guess Bill O'Reilly said, why put this man through anything else? We're going to cover it. So, you know, yay, hey, and yoo-hoo to Bill O'Reilly. Yeah, ring the bell.
We'll ring the bell for Bill O'Reilly.
That's the angel bell.
Okay, let's go back to Michael. Michael, you told us something during the break.
Well, I do realize that there are a lot of people who have served veterans or maybe even active or spouses of people who are active, and I do I appreciate that you guys support that. Like I said, when the Patriot Guard came out and showed support of my brother, I mean, that was just a huge honor, and it was just very awesome to see. In respect to that, I do understand there is a cost to service, and so just I would like to take the opportunity to offer anybody who's served, actively serving, or the spouse of somebody who may be deployed currently, if they wish to come in and utilize my services, I would like to give them a discount on those.
Okay, so for veterans and their spouses are deployed or,
yes,
or
yes,
currently serving,
yes,
then?
Yes.
Well, you need to get with, if you haven't, is NorCal Vets. They list businesses that give discounts to veterans,
sure,
and just like you're saying. And it's NorCalVets.com. We'll have to take a look at that. But then you can get listed in that group too. And that's, to me, that's kind of a list of heroes that are willing to serve you know, warriors that are out there, or ones who have served before.
Yeah, the heroes are the people who have served. I'm just doing what I can to give back to that. And
it's your way of serving. But thank you for that offer, and I'm sure many people are listening. So you are the IT guy. We were talking at the break. What makes you different? So, you know, I mean, like, you're a company and an organization, but you're a one-guy show.
I'm a one-guy show, and a lot of people, you know, it's like, well, do you get too busy, blah, blah, blah. But one of the things that's unique is that when you have an issue and you're not getting Bob out to your site one time, you're not getting Jim out to your site the next time, you're not getting Terry out to your site another time, you have the one same consistent person dealing with your issues. And the fact that I've been versed in a lot of areas means that we don't have to send out an IT, a network specialist one time and a hardware specialist another time. I can come out and I can see the network issues and the hardware issues at the same time while I'm on site and do my best to resolve everything then, or say, hey, this is coming down the road for you. You need to look at doing this. So there's more consistency, and I find that business owners, especially smaller businesses, really like to have that one-to-one FaceTime with a person. You know, there are other businesses in town that cater more toward, like, the home user. I do go for small businesses and really develop that relationship well with them, but I also do the home users as well. When you talk about an employee of a company, we've all seen the unfortunate situation where that employee doesn't necessarily, you know, it's just a job, it's a paycheck to them. This is my business, this is my livelihood, this is my name and reputation. So everything I do for you is going to be, you know, an honor to preserve, you know, my integrity and my relationship. So, I mean, you can feel confident that, you know, heaven forbid should another IT guy steal somebody's data, but it's happened. There's been data theft, there's been, you know, malicious hacks later after they were let go or they were no longer being used. You know, I mean, that's just not my interest.
Professional Systems Solutions, that's the name of the company. Michael McKenzie, who is our IT consultant. This is a spotlight on business that we've been doing this morning here on Free Fire Radio. Michael, how does one get a hold of you?
They would call my office line at 530-246-1888, or they could email me at michael@prosystemsolutions.com.
Do you have a website?
Prosystemsolutions.com.
Pro Systems Solutions.
System singular.
Pro Systems Solution.
Without the S on the systems. Pro System, SYSTEM, Solutions.com.
Are you thoroughly confused?
I'm sorry.
You can always call here at the station too.
There you go. Or my office line at 246-1888.
That's great.
Let me try. Pro System Solutions.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Because I wrote it down twice. Michael, thanks a lot, and we appreciate everything your brother's done. And
that you're doing.
And that you're doing, yes. And you're supporting the veteran community, which that's a great calling also.
Again, if you're looking for an IT guy, develop a relationship with your IT guy, meaning somebody's going to come and call. When you call him, he's going to come out. It's going to be like your dentist or your doctor. You want the same guy who really gets to know what you're doing. That's 246-1888.
Thank you.
Okay, now our next segment is we're going to have Dr. Ray John from Haven Humane. We're going to be talking about a number of things that's going on in the animal community, including people stopping by that's really pushing the adoption for life for animals in the shelters, the North Shore Animal League. America's Tour for Life. Is that going to be great? And plus, we're going to be talking about other subjects near and dear to Dr. John's heart, and also not just on animals, but a few other things, too, that raise up on. This is Carl Lindebot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, clearly news talk radio. This is KCNR Shasta Redding. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl Lindebot. We're starting our second hour. Phone lines here, 530-605-4567. Of course, we're streaming at KCNR1460.com, as is Dennis Miller, who follows us. You can write to Linda, linda@KCNR1460.com. Well, we're waiting for
Get
Dr.
ready.
John to be coming in here. He's in another studio right now. But, you know, yeah, that's right. Get ready. What happens when the state of California is short of money?
Oh, boy. And we just got off the road in time. But if you're driving, listen, listen, listen.
You know that little cushion? That little cushion they would give you of 5, 6, 7 miles an hour, you're going down the road. It appears that the cushion may not be as cushiony anymore.
Now,
it may not be that plush Stratoliner anymore. It looks like it could become a hardback chair.
Well, you know, personally, and I'm probably just busting myself by saying this, but I'm in the fast lane and I drive 80. I don't cut people off. I don't drive faster than traffic. But usually on 5, just on 5, I drive around 80. I don't go over 80. But now, and that's that 10-mile cushion because, you know, you're supposed to go 70. So usually if you're 75, 76, that's your cushion. Now what we are hearing that's being reported is that across the country, you're going to get tickets 2-3 miles over. They're just giving out tickets. Now, when we came back, we drove back from the Los Angeles area on Monday. I said, Carl, is it just because it's like the beginning of Easter week? And, you know, in our day, we knew Easter week started the week before Easter, and boom, you were out of school. Everybody was out of school. It's so different now. Who has a vacation when? But so we were thinking, well, maybe this is the beginning of Easter week because from Los Angeles to Redding, there, I think we spotted 6 cop cars pulling people over. And that's kind of a big number, considering I probably have driven up and down that 5 corridor, thousands, but I'd say at least 500 times in my life, I'm sure.
Well, you know, it's not only that they're cutting on. If you look at, you know, on the front page of the paper today, they're going after the crosswalks and the people that are not stopping for the crosswalks. I believe that's probably what they're going for, but I wonder if they're going to start giving people tickets for the, you know, the JN cutting across. Well,
we don't do that.
No, we don't do that here. We do not. We go down the end of the street and we wait till the light changes, and then we look both ways and we walk across.
Conscientiously
every time we cross the street, we do that. So don't come down here and look. We're safe. No, but they are going to start cutting it back. Then I just saw something where somebody went through one of the stoplights and got caught. $500?
I don't know.
Rolling through one of our stoplights.
Oh, man.
$500?
Got to tighten it up
now,
folks.
Come on.
Tighten it up.
$500?
I got a video to show you about what happens when people run stoplights that will make you paranoid. So I have mixed feelings on
that. No. This fellow, according to him, stopped at a light. You know, he rolled through. It was on a private road. I don't know if it's a private road, but it went. There was nothing there. No injuries. Nothing. The light got him, and the fine was $500. Now, is that true, or is he just exaggerating? I don't know.
Well, let's go to the phones. Jay, good morning. You're on KCNR.
Yeah. For my work, I drive around the community all day long, and I've been seeing in the last, I'd say, 6 months especially, a major uptick in people being pulled over and the police giving no leniency whatsoever when it comes to certain things. I've been spared, but I drive people around, and so I hear stories. And what you're saying is true, both locally and statewide. I don't know this for a fact, but it wouldn't surprise me in the least that the local police have been told, you know, we got to get those fines, we got to get those tickets. Because they're definitely stepping it up. And, I mean, if you're breaking the law, you're breaking the law, and you deserve it. But I've definitely seen it.
Well, now, do you know of any little special spots that the police, and you're driving around the community, any special spots that you've seen the police at?
East Cypress Bridge, Churn Creek, and I think down on Bonneville at times, because people will get speeded down there in your breast flower or Bonneville.
Oh, yeah. Well, I tell you, yeah, you know, the one on the Cypress Street Bridge, they're either in a motorcycle officer with his gun, You can't, you can't see them.
There's no hiding for that.
There's no hiding. Okay, the other one is you're going up on Hilltop, or I guess it's up past Country Kitchen, and you're heading out toward Lake. And there's a little spot on the right-hand side there behind the bushes. I saw my first policeman there yesterday, and he had he had the gun out. So it was like,
there's a spot up on Placer, too, just past Air Park on the right-hand side.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they that's a good spot because they get people coming down the hill. They come popping over that hill, and there he is. It's like,
there's also that spot over on Victor next to Kids Kingdom. Little spot they can tuck in there, too. But, I mean, like I said, if you're speeding, you're being dangerous.
That's true.
You deserve to get a ticket. But I'm just saying that I'm noticing what you're saying is that there's definitely an uptick in enforcement.
I think there is. And I think that any way that the state is going to be able to acquire funds, they're going to use it. And if it's you're breaking the law, then they've got you.
Okay, well, what's good about this information, Jay, and your call, and Carl and I bringing it to the airwaves, is that, we happen to get into habits, like me driving 80 miles on 5. It's a habit. I mean, I don't speed in the sense that it's reckless. I don't cut people off. We had some people that really we thought that we saw road rage this weekend that was unbelievable. I pulled way back because I just thought somebody is going to we're going to have a wreck in front of us. I mean, where they speed up on the right side behind the trucks and then zip into the left-hand lane. And just, it was, but anyway, so what this is bringing to light is just when you get in your car today, think about what you're doing. Think about stopping, not rolling through that, that Hollywood stop, not rolling through the red, when you're turning to the right.
Using your signal.
Using your signal, just really paying attention. But thanks, Jay, so much.
Don't be jaywalking. Okay, hey.
Bye, guys.
Hey, Jay, thanks a lot.
We're going to take a break here. When we come back, I've got something to tell you about some speed, something happening somewhere here in California that's going to be fun if you like to travel. This is Carla Lindebot here on Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, clearly News Talk Radio.
Come
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. It's Carla and Linda Bott.
Can you see us pushing our hands up to the sky?
Yeah, it's a good thing they can't. 605-4567, we're streaming at KCNR 1460. We go through things that we talked about driving and the fact that, they're cracking down on. If you're out there, they may catch you. And if they do, it's not going to be a fun trip, with how expensive that could be. One of the things, though, that we've been talking about and we've had on the show is the Shasta Trinity National Forces plan for travel management. If you remember, we had Les Bond and a member of the Recreation Coalition. And what they said was that, hey, they're getting ready to cut off these roads to motorcycles and other vehicles, the off-road vehicles that do not have driver's licenses, or not driver's licenses, but licenses on them. And that the Shasta County Board of Supervisors, everybody has tried to work with the Shasta Trinity National Force. And what they got, they thought that maybe when they were working with them, something would happen, a miracle. No. Even though that the near unanimous backing from county law enforcement and public works officials, including the Board of Supervisors, they've had a year-long series of public meetings and written hundreds of letters, and the result is the plan that is everything everybody feared. It dramatically limits access. Now the four state officials, it's a decent article in a Record Searchlight, so you can check that out today. But, the thing is they're saying, somebody called in that day and said, they're getting pressure from above. Well, they are. They are getting pressure from above. They're getting a pressure from environmentalist whack jobs, but also clearly legitimate environmentalist groups too. But here's the thing. They are taking these roads, and they're saying that they're not safe, that it's a safety issue that the Highway Patrol agrees with. Well, the Highway Patrol does not agree with it, and they've got letters showing that. But the problem is that they're going to shrink all of these road networks. There's got to be a better balance than just cutting it off from people, just cutting off the roads themselves from the people. Now, we've invited Sharon Haywood to be on the show or her spokesman, and we're still waiting for that phone call back. I'm sure it'll happen. She's the one that controls it. Now, I thought, well, as did somebody when they said it, well, you know, it's kind of they're in lockstep. Everybody signs the same thing. Well, that's not true. Up in Modoc County, the gentleman that heads the National Forest up there, he allows the access. And also in this access is the fact that with the new ruling is that you can't get further off the road than one car length to camp. In other words, you've got to carry everything in, or if you're going to camp, you've got to stay right there. You know, what about people that have disabilities? And they have these new quads that allow them to sit in it and to go down the road. Now, this has all been outlawed from what I understand. You know, another slice of our life, another slice of a way of enjoying our forest. We live some of the most beautiful country in the United States right here. And it's being cut off by who? By one person. Even though the one person, yes, is probably under pressure, but I'm sure Ms. Haywood has her reasons, but we'd love to have her on, or her spokesperson, Ray Moody, who handles her public affairs, retired Navy guy. We'd love to have one of them on to explain this limited trail access. And we're going to keep trying, and we'll keep you all updated on where we're at with this. Now, we're going to take a quick break, and when we get back, Dr. Ray John will be here. This is Carl in the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio.
Good morning, Reading. This is Carla Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio. You're listening to 1460, 821 in the morning. Our forecast today is going to be probably a little rainy, maybe some thunderstorms later with a high of 54. You know, earlier we were talking about speed, and I just wanted to share something with you. What do you do in the time of an economic downturn? Let's say you're a big tourist attraction, and all of a sudden you realize that something's closing, like a bus tour or a tour of a specific place, because ticket sales are down. Well, have you ever been to Catalina and Avalon? Fabulous Avalon.
I've been there.
I still have buffalo on the top because, you know, have you flown out of Avalon?
No, but I know somebody that wrestled a buffalo one time.
Really? But that's not it. Okay, so let's
Alana take, Burke's husband wrestled a buffalo.
He wrestled
one
a
time.
Buffalo. And,
if you've ever seen Alana Burke's husband,
and live to talk about it.
He's big.
So the Catalina Zipline Eco Tour, scheduled to open on April 14th, will propel folks over canyons at up to 40 miles per hour. The zipline consists of a harness connected to a trolley that runs on overhead cables. Tourists will pay $89 for this thrill to zip along nearly 3,700 feet in five segments, one of them 300 feet high. The zip line, which cost more than $1 million to build. See, there's money out there, folks. I mean, you know, you got to just figure out what you're going to do to make it work. They're doing this to attract a younger crowd with a little adventure in their hearts. Earlier this year, a four-hour bus tour of the island's wilderness area was closed because of declining ticket sales. So if you are going on a vacation and you want that thrill, and it happens not to be on the, you know, the canvas of the trees in Pongo Pongo, well, people can, they, you know,
I've been on zip
they
lines
go on
before.
The Caribbean cruises and then go on our, these zip lines
our,
over there.
Our guest has been on zip lines before. Let me tell you.
$89. Just join the Corps.
Yeah, you know, you want to do that, $89. And not only that, but you're going 40 miles an hour built on a contraption that's built by the lowest bidder. Run by people that don't really speak English that well, that do not understand. Help me. You know, it's and then, you know, what if that in that little harness moves over a little bit? Then you, as you're running, going down, you're going,
bunzai.
Help me, really high. You know, obviously, you know, this is.
That was a good segue, Carl.
That was inspirational.
That was, we've all hunched over and we're going to leave the room right now. Okay, hey, our guest. Thanks for putting up with this. But it's Dr. Ray John from the Haven Humane, the leader.
Good to be with you.
Well, it's always good to have you
and
on.
And we want to thank you one more time, again, for those who are just tuning in. Of this personal tour that you took us on of the Haven Humane, what would you call it? It was shelter, and the people that worked there and the cleanliness. I'm on the board of the doggy park, and we go up to Benton Doggy Park with Snooki, and I tell them, oh my gosh, I was just blown away. I mean, it was so clean, so organized. The people were cheery. We left with such an impression of such a well-run facility. So thank you for that. I mean, really, I mean that.
And we're offering, you know, anyone who wants a tour, just give me a call. I'd be glad to take anyone around to show them what we do. Most people talk about the shelter. Most people haven't been there.
Well, now you're here, though, for a specific reason today.
Yeah, today we've got kind of a fun thing going on. The North Shore Animal League out of New York City, for 5 years in a row, has started their tour here in Reading. And they'll be here all day today, and then they'll go to 23 cities and 100 shelters to kind of show people what animals from animal shelters look like, that they're good dogs, good cats. So they have a huge rig, and then I've got my big rig out there. We're about out by the Outback restaurant today from 10 to 4, and so we'll be showing dogs, adopting them out, doing microchipping for $10, just about anything today. I've got all the animal groups coming, too.
The groups include Another Chance, Strike Force, Flyball, and Shasta Splash, Forever Pets, and Shasta County Animal Regulations, as well as other animal groups.
Great. So, you know,
yeah.
And they'll be there today. And then the great thing is the fact that they've chosen Reading every year is the kickoff city. So the national tour starts here. It actually starts tonight when they drive out of here.
Well, that's an honor. And why that's is great. that they choose Reading?
They were impressed with Haven Humane, the quality of our program, and the quality of our people. Matter of fact, they fight to see who gets to come on the tour to be out here. So they arrived last night.
Well, we're a party town, too.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, come on.
But and also, if you're in New York City right now, you want out.
That's true. You know, the microchip for $10, it's interesting. We know somebody that... Actually, that worked for them. They were watching their son's dog. Dog got out. They and ran down the street. They could not find it. They got a phone call that evening from people that were further up the street that they'd found the dog, took it down to a vet. They scanned it, saw the name, and then they said, "What's the dog's name?" And the dog's name was different than what was on the chip because they had changed the dog's name after that. But they got the dog back just because of that microchip.
Every day, three or four come in, and all my officers carry wands, and mm-hmm. we wand the back. We get the number. It's a code number. We call a national hotline. They give us the name and address and the phone number. We call the family, say we've got Fido. And
where do you insert this?
We insert it right in the back of the neck, right there, and it just a tiny little. It takes 2 seconds, no pain, and it stays there.
Does it itch afterwards?
No, not a bit.
Huh. Because I was sleeping really well the other night, and I woke up, and there's this little lump on the back of my neck. And
Linda and I have been talking about having you chipped. When she needs to find you, we just, you know, give someone the wand.
How about that we clone him?
I could like that, too.
Oh, we got to take a break here. This is not yet.
Not for 3 minutes.
Okay,
let's talk more about the adoption. Now you're going to be out there at 10 o'clock at
10 o'clock by the Outback restaurant at the mall. We'll be there from 10 to 4, and if someone's interested in a dog, they need to own their home or have the landlord's permission, and they need to have the proper size fence and a safe kennel. You know, especially with our heat here, they can't just be out exposed.
Right.
And if that works, and there's a good match. We'll adopt them.
Now, this is all ages that you have? I mean, puppies through adult dogs?
Through adult dogs. Puppies don't last very long. I mean, people come in and, I mean, they're lined up in the morning. They grab them if they see a puppy. Whereas I have a lot of 2-, 3-, 4-year-olds.
Yeah. You know, when we were there, we saw these two beautiful golden labs. Mm-hmm. I think they were brothers or one person had brought them in. Tell me that they... found a home.
They found a home.
That's why
I've really gotten lucky. The national average of getting out of a shelter is 50%. We're up to 73%.
Oh,
so wait. 3 out of 4 dogs that come in, I'm able to place either in adoption, foster care, or a rescue group. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, I had a golden lab recently, very, very old, very sick terminal. And I found a rescue group that takes care of old labs so that they'll be in a home when they go. So
isn't that great?
So rather than dying in our...
How long does the chip last? I mean, as far as, do you have to update the paperwork every 6 months or every year?
You have to call in if you move, or you change the dog's name or your phone number. But the code never changes, like your service number. It stays always the same with you, and it stays for life. The chip, occasionally, as the dog ages, will slip. Sometimes it'll slip down to the shoulder, so we always have to cover the entire dog when we're wanding.
I think that's a great way of being able to take care of the dogs and be able to find them, because how many times we lost an animal that just got away from us?
Yeah.
And, you know, I just find that, you know, the things that we're doing to be able to take care of animals has just grown so much. Yeah. And we've got to take a break here. This is Carl in the Bud. Our guest is Dr. Ray John from the Haven Humane, and we're going to be seeing his beautiful bride tomorrow when we're talking, the Walk for Life. This is Carl in the Bot, Free Fire Radio, clearly news talk radio. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. That's Lynyrd Skynyrd. This is Carl and Linda Bot. I saw Lynyrd Skynyrd in concert at Sturgis, South Dakota, during a motorcycle rally where
on your birthday
350,000 of my closest friends joined me for my birthday, and it had rained, it was lightning, it was thunder, and then it stopped for Lynyrd Skynyrd, and we were there. Sometimes it was hard to hear because we had idiots on bikes, you know, they were cranking them up, but then as they finished, the rain started again. But what a great night. I always remember that was a great birthday present my bride gave to me. Our guest is Dr. Ray John, and he's from Haven Humane, of course, the man that's running it. There's another event that's happening, too, not just today but tomorrow, that's going to bring food and other things for Haven Humane.
Yeah, the Cancer Society Discovery Shop in Park Marina is throwing a food drive for us tomorrow. So I'll have my big adoption unit out there, and we're accepting food for pets. I'm giving away now close to 200 pounds a day to families. I fed 15 families yesterday, and it's so much cheaper for me to give you food to keep your dog than to take your dog in and care for it and pay and all the bills that come with that.
Well, you know, my friends, when you look down at that animal of yours, you know, there may be a lot of things that we don't agree with, we don't necessarily want around us. But there's something about when you come home at night and that animal of yours comes up and just shows you all types of unconditional love. And, this is a man talking that has not had an animal for well over 30 years. And now I have a dog that I appreciate. And the little devil just makes me crazy. But you know what it would be like if you had to give up your pet. And what Ray's doing and other organizations. But Ray, especially as this, please keep your animal. We'll give you what it takes to feed and take care of them. Toys. I know you gave away toys and everything.
Anything we can do. And then, remember, and you've been there, our place is an institution. Dogs don't belong with 51 other dogs.
Right.
Cats don't belong with 100 other cats. They need to be in a home. So we're trying now to change it. We're piping in music now, and then I have Junior Haven Humane painting the entire place bright colors so that we can just lighten it up, make them feel at home in the temporary time they're with us. That's my goal.
Now, there's been a couple adoption rule changes, if I understand right, from the last time you were here.
Well, one thing is I finally started charging more realistically. I spend $394 per dog, and I charge $125. It's lousy business, but at least we were charging $80, and we were totally losing our shirts, so we've raised the prices. I've raised the conditions. If now you step forward and say, I accept that dog, even with its heartworm disease or whatever, I still want to assume full responsibility for it, then I'll adopt it out. The problem we have is we did 7,000 animals last year. There's a limited space. So the healthy ones, the more adoptable ones, are the ones that I keep the cages for and the kennels for. And then traditionally, the one who has a tumor is just not going to make it out of there. And so, but we've had some people step forward and say, "Hey, I don't care if the dog's got a broken leg, I will cover all of those costs, and then I'm willing to adopt him. And it's worked out pretty nice.
As I know, that heartworm was one of the problems that, you know, that people had. Oh, they wouldn't adopt out an animal. And I understand the reason behind it, because that could take a lot of money.
Yeah.
But if they're willing to do it and they stand up and you've made the check, hey.
If they've made the love connection,
there you go.
We're going to work it out.
That's cool. So today, Haven Humane will be joining North Shore Animal League of New York, who is starting their tour today, Mount Shasta Mall, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Check it out. They're going to do $10 microchipping. There's going to be animals. And it'd be cool to see these buses.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
Yeah, the beginning of the tour. Now, and tomorrow, okay, so, we have such a generous community here, Dr. John. People are driving. What can I do? I might not be able to make it to the mall, but what do you need? What do you guys need right now?
We always need two things when you're running a shelter. We need food. We need money. You know, it costs me $2 million a year to operate that complex, $2 million a year. I'm lucky I have two endowments that give me a lot of my funding. The rest is from the public. And that's why every time you see me, I'm on my knees begging, you know, because it's what it takes to keep it afloat.
How did your fur ball go?
That was another chances event.
Oh, okay.
But I went as their guest.
We saw your picture.
And I was really impressed with the whole event. They did a great job. So one of the things that's happened is I've worked together with all the animal groups. We're sharing now. Like, another chance will be attending my Bark and Wine event. So we're going to do the dog pound run, the motorcycle run on September 11th, and other groups are joining us. So that's been the fun thing about this new job, is getting groups working together.
That's great. When is the Bark and Wine?
I believe it's the first Saturday in October.
Okay.
So
and then we need to circle our little calendars with these things.
Good.
Yeah.
And I'll send you an update on what we're doing coming up.
Well, we need that. I know that every time that you've been on the show, that people show up with food, and you can just drop by any of the stores and get the dry food, get those big 50-pound bags at a reasonable price, but that means a whole lot to the animals that you're feeding.
Oh, it just makes a difference. Yeah. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. And thank you so much for you, Dr. Ray John, and your beautiful wife Maggie, who do so much community outreach and your tireless efforts of what you do for our community. We're so very grateful. Do you have any closing thoughts? Just chime in.
Well, today I'm kind of in a thankful mode. I've been resting on this cruise for 2 weeks, so we're kind of, I'm moving slower than usual.
I am so jealous. Where'd you guys go?
We went to the Caribbean on a 10-day cruise.
Did you do a Ziploc? Or it's not a Ziploc, but a zipline?
No. As I tell people, I don't camp or do outdoors anymore. I did enough in the NOM for a lifetime. But what was nice is getting away, the two of us, and when I'm on a cruise, when people ask me what I do, I tell them I'm a long-distance truck driver, and I call Maggie the little woman, and then they don't bother you anymore. If you tell them you work at Haven Humane, they want to tell you about their dog, you know. Okay. And if she says Women's Refuge, they talk about their cousin Sally. So,
oh, God.
This is great.
Little woman.
I drive a truck, and this is my little woman. She just drives right along.
We drive a long truck, and we're really happy.
Yeah. So
maybe we can sit together tonight.
Did you do the southern or the western? What part of the Caribbean?
The eastern. You know, it is St. Kitts and that whole thing. But, you know, we didn't even care if we got off the ship. We got so rested, we played bingo, you know, and as hyper as we are playing, actually, with Bloody Marys, it's a new way to do it.
It's surprising that Bloody Marys makes everything work okay.
We speak from the same language. Yeah. Like.
But I tell you, coming back, we actually wanted to get back to work. When we left, we were both going to retire, you know, so now we're energized again.
Well, you know, it's funny how sometimes vacations, you know, have a tendency to be just as stressful. You know, we went down to Linda's reunion with her fellow Dean Martin gold diggers there. And even though that we had a great time, it wasn't like you'd say you were resting that day. Mm-hmm. You were on the move the whole time. So it was something like you just sit down, as most of us would like to do on vacations, and I envy people that can do that.
Yeah.
And you sat down for 10 days.
And then the cutest thing was Maggie the next day came in really angry. I said, "What's the matter, honey? They didn't make our bed this morning." And I said, "Where's our breakfast?" And I said, "No, honey, see, we didn't sign on for life. This was a vacation. We have to go back to making our bed."
air. Oh, I love, you know, we have to do that sometime. But you know what? Thank you so much for doing all that you've done. You deserve, well deserve, a 2 week. He's laughing because I said, Carl's never taken a cruise.
Oh, no, I have. I took a 6 month cruise with 2,500 of my fellow, some of my best friends. Unfortunately, we'd stop at a couple of places people shot at us. Maybe it was kind of like a cruise down to Haiti or something. But yeah, don't tell me I've never been on a cruise.
Okay.
Yeah, I cruised on the Breckenridge from San Diego to Okinawa with 1,500 Marines. Oh my God!
I know it's not quite the same thing. That, you know, you don't get the knock off balls off the fantail. You don't get to.
And there's no umbrellas on the drinks.
No, there's, in
and
fact,
you're not,
there's no drinks.
And of course, you have like what, zero thread count? You can't say 500.
Zero thread count. It's, you know, and then there's you know these helicopters taking off over your head on the deck and bouncing. You know, it's not quite the same thing as Carnival Cruises.
But it's changed a lot. I want you to come cruising. You'll like it.
Yeah, okay, that's what people tell me.
Dress up and dance and have great entertainment. Oh, yeah. That's good. Well, welcome back. And tomorrow, that sounds like a really exciting, fun event. And, of course, we want, you know, we are committed to do whatever we can do to help the Haven Humane. And, you know, for these poor I want to say poor animals that need adoption.
Yeah. And that's today from 10 to 4 up there at the Mount Shasta Mall behind the
Outback Restaurant.
Great. Hey, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for all you guys do.
This is Carl and the Bob. We're going to take a quick break here. This is Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, clearly News Talk Radio.
Price.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 AM. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Phone lines here 605-4567. We just had Dr. Ray John talking about Haven Humane. You know, last time Ray was on, people sent us a lot of emails saying, well, you know, they wouldn't let us keep our animal. They wouldn't let us adopt it, and then they put the animal down because they had a heartworm. Well, they've changed that. They've changed that portion of it. That's a tough job. Hey, Tea Party people, President Obama finally has accepted the fact there are Tea Party people out there and Tea Party organizations. However, did you know that you core members of the Tea Party are probably fringe elements? The people surrounding the Tea Party, though, probably have, you know, legitimate concerns on the government, the economy, you know, where the nation's going. But you core members, you are all fringe types. You know, I've met, I believe, core members of the Tea Party and the Bostonian Tea Party and the Reading Tea Party, and I don't really feel like they're fringy. I think they're Americans that really care about what's happening to this country. They're not the militia types that you see getting arrested. And again, I'd like to see all the things that they're talking about, because you know, this is just like red meat to the press, that conservative right-wing Christians and a militia just got arrested. So we'll see. We'll see what happens when it plays out. This could be just like anything else the press gets into and says, you know, 12 Marines murder dozens in Haditha. And John Murtha jumps up there and says, they're calls of murderers. And it turns out that, no, guess what? They're not murderers. None of them are murderers. They were Marines doing their job in a tough situation. But the fact that President Obama has addressed the fact that, hey, maybe it's more than just a few people when you get thousands and thousands of people throughout this country. And let's face it, the Tea Party groups, there's no, like, super leadership at the top. These are groups that have started, and now they're spreading. They're spreading from Reading to Alturas to Bernie. You know, maybe small groups, but they are spreading. Shingletown, Red Bluff, Cottonwood, Anderson. And they're getting together for different types of meetings concerning our government and where we're going. We're going to be talking tomorrow. We're going to be talking tomorrow about a number of things, but Social Security. We're going to talk about Social Security tomorrow. We're going to start off on that. Social Security, something that was started under Roosevelt, that was supposed to be a supplement to your retirement, but then became so much more, and had collected so many trillions of dollars, or billions and billions of dollars, probably a trillion, was starting to getting raided. And George Bush, back in the 90s, in the early 2000s said, hey, there's something wrong with this. We're going to have to do something about Social Security. He got slapped down, beat, kicked, pushed aside. Guess what? This month, we're paying out more for the first time on Social Security than we're taking in. And it looks like Social Security is not going to get to the point. You know, they said 30 years it was going to be insolvent. It looks like it could be as close as 10 years.
You know, earlier you were talking about security, and I wanted to announce something before we take a break here. Tonight on Channel 11, there's going to be a show called Hand Me the Mic. The subject is going to be crime in the streets and what citizens can do to improve their personal security. On the panel tonight will be Reading Police Officer Chief Peter Hansen, D.A. Jerry Benito, Public Defender Jeff Gorder, and Dave Nichols, Head of Northern California Department of Corrections Parole Unit. So that's tonight on Channel 11.
What time is that?
I don't have the time, but John Dixon's going to be moderating. And so, you know, I'm sure if you go on your charter and you click on Channel 11, you'll see what time. It's called Hand Me the Mic. And, of course, again, one more time, the subject is going to be crime in the streets. And many of us are wondering where and what we can do. So we're taking your call, 605-4567, or you can email me, Linda at KCNR1460.com. What are you looking at there?
I was just checking out the time on it, and there's no time. We're going to have to take a quick
7:30.
Okay. We just got a phone call. 7:30 tonight. We'll be on Channel 11. And that's the public access channel.
Yeah,
that's a community channel. It's not public broadcasting. It's the community access channel. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, clearly news talk radio.
Easter is the time for families, and Market Street Steakhouse has an affordable brunch menu for the entire family. With prices ranging from $8 to $12, you can try their three-cheese quiche, served with your choice of sausage, ham, or bacon, and potatoes.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott.
Are you rocking the Casbah?
Yeah, I am rocking to the Casbah as much as I can rock.
Better wake up and
Bad
rock
Bob
that Casbah.
Bob needs to say something.
I wish to apologize to the gentleman. I inadvertently hung up on him. He wanted to make a comment on the traffic. We're coming up pretty close, but if he calls back, we can probably try to squeeze him in.
Yeah, we'll jump him in, or we can just call tomorrow. Tomorrow, our guest will be Maggie John, who's going to be talking about the Walk for Life from the Women's Refuge, and also our own Dog Whisperer right here in Shasta County.
Carla Jackson's going to be on, and she is a dog trainer and has her own, ranch for dogs. So we're thrilled to have Carla on tomorrow. And Friday,
Corky Hansen, running for supervisor in the 5th District. That's going to be a pretty crowded race there. You've got Les Baugh, and you've got Chris Young, and now Corky Hansen. And Corky's a businessman, works in construction. And in fact, I was just, accidentally met him yesterday. He'd already been signed up for the show, but I hadn't met him. So he'll be on. He'll also be on at noontime at Tobacco and Brew, so you can meet the gentleman that's running for supervisor.
So we're always taking your calls and emails again. Go to KCNR 1460, email Carl and I. And if there's something that's on your mind and you want us to cover something or investigate it or get it out there over the airwaves, or someone that you would like to have us interview or a business that you want to know about, that's what we're here for. We love what we do. We are for the people, by the people. That's our motto. And thank you so much. Have a beautiful day here. We still have a few minutes left. I'm just telling you.
Okay.
What can I say? Have a beautiful day.
I thought you were getting ready to say goodbye. We had 3 minutes left. Okay. Well, you surprise me sometimes there, darling.
Good. You need surprising.
I do need surprising. Okay,
I'm going to rock the Casbah. That's how we came in from that break, so go ahead.
You know, there's a number of different people we're trying to get on, of course, people that have influence on our lives and on the lives of the North State. It's a lot of questions have come up in yesterday we were discussing the marijuana ordinances. That it looks like that, it's going to be on the ballot. Can we make marijuana legal? And if we do, the impact on our state. and the impact on the country. Can one state make a drug that's federally illegal just open for everybody? And then something else that I had read, and somebody could probably tell me if I'm right or wrong on this, that I just read is that a judge struck down the amount of marijuana that you can have in your possession. In other words, it used to be, I think, 8 ounces. If you had over 8 ounces, they could arrest you for intent to traffic. But the judge says you can't tell how much a person who uses it medicinally is going to need. Yeah, I know. That's what we're checking that, too. But, you know, the thing is
how about eating?
How about 20 pounds? Is 20 pounds, would that be too much?
Have you ever been slipped a brownie or any kind of chocolate chip cookie?
I've never taken drugs.
No, I mean, without knowing.
It wasn't prescribed, or they just shot into me when I was, you know, semi-conscious, you know, laying on a table, which, you know, that counts. Anyway, but that's, you know, that's another thing. You know, we have not had one of the marijuana communes on the show, not in a long time. Maybe we need to talk about that. How many are there? I mean, when you're driving into Redding, we've got more in Redding than, say, any other city except Los Angeles. I think Oakland's got 3. We've got anywhere from 30 to 40. You know, this is a big thing. We probably need to devote another hour on the show, let people take a look at it, see what they think. I know that there's politicians that are just kind of like going along with it. Others, like Patrick Jones, is fighting it. He says, look, it's against the federal law. How can you do this? What if the next administration changes their mind and you've got all of these marijuana cooperatives out there? Are they going to shut them all down? Can they confiscate the property? That's just a question.
It's a huge issue for us here in the North State. It truly is.
And what do you want to be known for? I mean, do you want to be known for, there's Redding. Let's go up there and buy our medicinal weed.
Well, in California in general, I'm sure it's something that they're going to try to legalize. They're going to move really hard to try to legalize this in the next year.
Just remember, the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
This is KCNR, Shasta, Redding.